Welcome to the Click Podcast. I'm Danny Watson, a mindset and manifestation expert and founder of The Click, a company that helps women overcome their fears and limiting beliefs to create a life and business that they love. Within this podcast, I will help you get clear on what you want, identify the blocks that are holding you back, transform your mindset and raise your vibration so that you can co-create magic with the universe. If you are looking to design a life that truly sets your soul on fire and manifest more success and abundance, then you are in the right place. Hello, ladies, and welcome to a brand new episode. For this episode, I want to dive into how you can maintain a high vibration when your current circumstances are telling you otherwise, and how you can actually get into alignment with your goals when your physical world isn't necessarily a reflection of what you really want. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say you are wanting to call more money into your life. So if we think about this from a manifestation point of view, we need to get specific and clear on the money that we want to call in. But a big part of manifesting is being able to energetically align ourselves and align our vibration with the energy of our desires. But let's say, for example, you want more money, but currently you look in your bank account and the figure that is in there is not a reflection of the desire that you want. And when you look at your bank account, what you're doing is you're putting yourself into that energy of lack, because what you're seeing is, I don't have enough. And let's say you're checking your bank account quite regularly, you're constantly being reminded of that not enoughness. I don't have enough money. And putting yourself into that energy of lack is going to create that within your reality. So lack creates more lack. Another example could be, let's say you are wanting to manifest a beautiful dream home, and you think about that home and you can connect with the visual representation of the home that you're wanting to manifest. Yet on a day-to-day basis, you wake up and you are in a house and you look around and it is not the house that you want to be in. Maybe you are starting to focus more upon the negative things. You're thinking, look, this room's too small. I don't have enough space here. It's constantly a mess. It needs work doing. It needs painting. It needs all of these refurbishment things. You're focusing on the things that you don't want. And again, you're looking at your desires from a place of lack. Because what you're doing is you're saying, this is what I want, but I don't have it yet, because I am focusing on the absence of my desires. I'm focusing on the complete opposite. In my mind, I can see this beautiful dream home, but my reality is showing me different things on a daily basis. So how do we keep connecting ourselves to that vision of our desires and get ourselves in vibrational alignment with those desires when our day-to-day reality is giving us all of these examples of where our desires have not yet manifested? Now, I want to take you back to the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey, because I had a lot of things. Let's start off with that. I had a lot of things going on in my life that I did not want. And I realized that I was just perpetuating the same cycles or perpetuating the same manifestations, because for a lot of my life up until a certain point, I'd been dwelling on these things. So I'd been dwelling on the lack of money. I'd been dwelling on the lack of job fulfillment, feeling lost. I'd been dwelling on all of the things that I didn't want, and then wondered why I kept repeating the same patterns. Okay, so we're always going to get whatever we're focusing on the most. So at the beginning of my journey, I didn't have very much money. I had less than a lot of money. I was in a lot of debt. My living circumstances definitely didn't reflect what I truly wanted. I was living in an apartment with far too many people. It was a fine apartment. You know, it wasn't the shabbiest thing in the world, but it was tiny. We didn't have a proper bed. I didn't have a proper wardrobe even to put my clothes. My clothes were literally just piled up onto the floor. I, you know, was going to a work, going to a job, feeling very lost, feeling very confused in that. I remember getting on my commute, being on the bus and then the tube, and really just kind of looking at my life and thinking, this is not what I want. And when I started to really get into the law of attraction, I realized that I was dwelling too much on the things that I didn't want. So I needed to switch that narrative. But again, like, how do we do this when, you know, this is our reality? So something that I found was really kind of useful for me was almost getting a little bit delusional about my current reality. So Abraham Hicks talks about burying your head in the sand. And I felt like I had a lot of people call me out on this. And what I mean by this is they were telling me that it was wrong to ignore a reality. You can't ignore the things that are going wrong. So a good example of this was my debts. I had accumulated a lot of credit card debt. And I, for a long time, just kept focusing on the debt that I had. And it seemed to be that this debt just kept getting bigger and bigger. And part of this was a bit of lack of responsibility on my part in terms of managing money. A big reason why I'd accumulated that debt was tied in with my sense of self-worth, because I was just feeling quite low and buying things as a way to really just numb myself out and avoid what I was feeling. But what I started to do when I kind of got into the law of attraction, I thought, well, you know what? There's no point in me focusing on this. So I'm just going to forget it's even there. And I mentioned this to a few people and they were like, well, that's really silly. Like, you know, you can't just bury your debts under the carpet. And I'd literally hidden like my bank statements. I'd literally hidden them under the rug, under my bed. So they were out of sight. And I really tried to make an effort to put them out of mind. Now, this wasn't abdicating all responsibility, FYI, because what I did manage to do was make sure that I had my minimum payments set up. So I was keeping on top of my debts. But aside from that, you know, once I'd set up those direct debit payments, I wasn't thinking about them. I just completely cut them off from my mind. If ever I did have a thought pop into my head that reminded me of the debts that I had my distraction tactics in place that I would quickly revert to take my mind and take my energy and take my focus away from the negative. So I'll come back to that in a second. But one thing that I do want to point out at this point is that I actually realized I also had a lot of guilt and shame around my debts. And that was something that I did need to address, because it's one thing to just turn a blind eye to the things that you don't want, the negatives, bury the things under the carpet. But if there's something below the surface that's really festering, it's important that we need to address that. So for me, it was guilt and shame. So I actually had to do a lot of forgiveness work around my debts, forgiving myself for accumulating the debts, letting go and releasing that shame. I like to use a cord cutting ritual for forgiveness. I've got lots of different forgiveness rituals, but actually what I'm going to do, maybe this will be useful for you ladies if you've never practiced a forgiveness ritual before. What I will do is I will pop one into the show notes so that you can access it. For me, this ritual was really important because I found it very challenging to just ignore the negative aspects, especially around money, when I had all of this guilt and shame. So yeah, that forgiveness ritual for me, I found it to be very powerful. But once you've kind of let go of that sort of shame or guilt that you have towards the negative situation in your life, again, as I was saying, my kind of strategy was to really just bury my head in the sand and almost act delusional about the amount of money that I had. So I would be, and bearing in mind, I'm talking about a time when I literally had nothing. I would be, as much as possible, trying to align my thoughts and energy with the woman that had everything, everything that she could have ever possibly wanted in her life. I had the money. I had the dream home. I had the amazing business. And I would talk to myself internally as if all of those things were already true. And when it came to, as I said, thinking about money, if ever a thought popped up and it would say, you don't have any money, like it would remind me of my debts, for example, if it was something that needed addressing right there and then I would do something about it. For example, if it was a payment reminder that I needed to pay for something, I would address it, but I would not let myself dwell on it. And this is where distraction tactics come in. So distraction tactics are essentially things that are going to get you to shift your energy pretty instantly. So I actually now use distraction tactics quite regularly with my kids. So a good example of this, I'm going to say my son, because he typically is the one that has the mega meltdowns at the moment. But if he is in a moment of high emotional meltdown, let's not sugarcoat it. If he's literally losing his shit, which happens quite frequently at the moment, if he's losing it, I had went through a phase of trying everything that I could to try and sort of like coax him out of it. You know, I try to adopt an approach of quite gentle parenting. Doesn't always work. So I would kind of try all of the things to kind of get him to kind of calm down. And I realized actually the thing that works the best is a good old-fashioned distraction tactic. So my favorite thing is to, so we can see the sea from our house. My favorite thing to say is, oh my goodness, I just saw a dolphin. Am I lying about this? Maybe it's a little bit of a white lie. Most of the time I haven't seen a dolphin. But straight away, my son's complete energy and attitude changes. He's like, where, mama, where? And then we go out onto the terrace and we look at the sea and we see if we can see this dolphin. And all of a sudden, whatever it was that he was having a complete meltdown about, all of a sudden that just, he's forgotten about it. So we can use this same strategy with ourselves when we are in a state of perhaps emotional distress, when we're focusing on something negative and we can actually feel it dragging down our energy. Maybe it's that feeling of anxiety. Maybe your heart is starting to race. Maybe you are, you know, your mind is whirling a million miles per hour. You realize you're focusing on what you don't want. We can distract ourselves. And our distraction tactic, it's going to be different for everybody. So it's up to you to find yours. But I normally find doing something quite physical is a great way to shift my energy instantly. Often when we are focusing on the negative, what we're doing is we are very much in our minds rather than being in our bodies. So using the money example, whenever I found myself dwelling on the lack of money when that was my life, I found that I was very much thinking all of the things like how I was going to figure this out. I was overthinking things. I was stressing out. I was thinking of worst case scenarios. I was very much in my head. To take myself out of that place was to take myself into my body, be into my body more. And so this could be a very, very simple on the spot star jumps for 10 seconds whilst punching the air. I like to kind of use these energetic releases when I feel that I'm holding on to a lot of negative energy in my body. So when we've been dwelling on the negatives for a while, we can sometimes start to feel the physical effects of that in your body. So again, it might be like tension in the stomach. It might be constricting in the neck area. Maybe it's clenching your jaw. So again, using the body to kind of release that negative energy out. So punching a pillow is a great example of this. You know, if you've got something that you're really not happy about, you are frustrated, let that energy out rather than just sitting and dwelling and thinking about it more. Let that energy out, okay? Because whatever we don't release is just going to fester. So punching a pillow, doing star jumps, dancing around to your favorite songs, what can you do to bring yourself into your body to release some of that negative energy? And what you will find is that that distraction tactic, it no longer causes you to focus on the negative. You're doing something else, you're occupied with something else, and it almost feels, you can actually feel the release of those negative thoughts, really kind of just ridding themselves from your body. So that would be my first tip, is to distract yourself. When the negative thought comes in, use these distracting tactics by putting yourself into your body, taking yourself into a different environment, perhaps, and just letting out that negative energy. Now, something else that I would do, and this is going back to what I said about being delusional, is just really kind of just the way that I was speaking to myself and really shaping my internal narrative and what I was thinking about at any given moment. So my thoughts, as much as possible, were aligning with the reality that I wanted to create. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say when I was back in, you know, the little flat that I was living in, and it wasn't the mansion that I was dreaming of, I would wake up in the morning, and rather than waking up and looking at all of the things that irritated me about the room that I was in, I would say, oh, it is so wonderful to be waking up in this dream home. And I would just take a moment or so to just think in my head about, well, what would it be like right now if I was walking out of my bed, you know, out of my bedroom, down the stairs into my beautiful kitchen? How would I be feeling right now? And I would spend a moment to just try and connect with that vision. I would try and energetically feel as if I was in that scene, as if I had projected myself into my future life and that's what I was experiencing. So it was almost as if I could see my reality in front of me. You know, I wasn't walking around with, you know, my eyes closed. My eyes were open, but I was looking at life through these rose-tinted glasses. So, and this takes a certain level of concentration. admittedly, and it will be something that you will get better with at time. I feel like I was quite lucky in this sense because I've always had quite a vivid imagination. I had imaginary friends when I was younger. We would go on these incredible adventures together in my back garden. You know, we saw the whole world in my back garden. My mind was very, very sort of creative and active, and I spent a lot of my time in my imagination as a child, and I think this has served me very well. For other people, it might sound like you're being crazy or delusional, but I would actually, in getting into the habit of this, is even speaking the words out loud. It's like, oh, I love my beautiful marble, Calcutta marble worktops. I didn't have Calcutta marble worktops. They were from IKEA. They were plastic, laminate. But in my mind, I was in this beautiful kitchen. I was making my espresso. So the way that I was energetically tuning into my day was as if I was already living this dream life. And it may sound crazy, and if other people hear you, they might think you're a little bit cuckoo. I had flatmates who probably thought I was absolutely bonkers. However, for me, it worked because I may be physically in one place, but emotionally, energetically, I was someplace completely different. And it really turned what could have been a very frustrating period of my life into something that started to feel very, very luxurious and high vibe, because most of it I was living out in my imagination. Another good example of this, I would take myself. So once I'd actually handed in my notice from my job and I'd quit my job, I was still living in the flat. I was still building my business. And I would take myself to beautiful hotels in, I was living in London at the time, take myself to these beautiful hotels. I would sit in the reception area, I'd order a coffee, and I would just, again, being delusional, just talk to myself as if I was staying here. I would even say things like, oh, I'm going to have to dash soon because I've got a massage scheduled in at 2. I didn't have a massage, but I was getting into that role. So it's almost like you are stepping into the role of the leading lady in your own life. Okay, so what can you start to do to bring some of this delulu kind of thinking into your own everyday life? Maybe it's when you're in your car, you're saying to yourself, oh, I am absolutely obsessed with this new Porsche Taycan that I am driving, or whatever is your car of choice. You know, my G-Wagon, my Range Rover, whatever it is. As you get into your car, kind of don't really look at the car that you're in if it doesn't reflect the car that you want. Start to imagine like the soft, buttery leather seats, you know, the smell, that new car smell. We all know what that smells like. Just take a few moments. Now, what really helps with this practice is mindfulness. So mindfulness is where we are just really mindful of our surroundings, but it's also mindfulness of our thoughts. And more often than not, if we just allow our minds to wander where they want to because of negative brain bias, this annoying phenomenon where humans are hardwired to focus on the negative, because of that, if we just allow our minds to wander, they are going to just gravitate to the things that we don't want even more. Okay, so being mindful of our thoughts, having like regular check-ins with yourself through your day to remind yourself to be very much intentional with what you're thinking about. So maybe it's just even setting a alarm on your clock at regular intervals to just check in and say, well, what have I been thinking about recently? The most important times, I think, is when we're doing the mindless tasks. So you know those things that you just do on autopilot. So driving, on your commute, if you have a commute, maybe it's tidying up your house, maybe it's in the shower. It's those moments where it doesn't really require much thought process. So we've got a lot of brain power there to be focusing on something, but if we just kind of let it do its thing, it will probably start focusing on the things that we don't want. So I actually found that my most stressful moments were the times when I was just doing these mindless tasks. My shower first thing in the morning, before I started practicing, you know, being more mindful, I was just letting my mind wander to the debts, the job that I didn't want, all of the negatives in my life. So it's just bringing that intentionality, especially during those mindless moments. And those mindless tasks, rather. So we can actually turn these very kind of mundane tasks that we do into almost like a spiritual moment. So tidying up and cleaning is something I've weirdly always enjoyed. And before we had sort of help in the home and
you know, back in the day when I did everything myself, I did all my laundry myself and ironing and doing all of those things. Ironing I didn't love so much. When I was doing those things, let's say take something like ironing actually, because that was something I really, really didn't enjoy. So in that moment, that could be a moment where you kind of feel not your most abundant self. You know, you're doing the ironing, you know, you're not feeling like that high vibe, super successful businesswoman. How can we change the narrative here? It's something that needs to be done. Yet how can we make this a more of a high vibe moment? So for me, it was taking myself into my little Delulu mind and just imagining that I was somewhere else completely. So I would be playing out scenarios in my head. So maybe it was me booking an amazing trip. Maybe it was me going on an incredible retreat. Maybe it was me having a client session and having this wonderful experience with my client. I was doing whatever I could to take my mind away from the current situation. I was physically present within it, but my mind was somewhere elsewhere. Now, I would try and do this with whatever task that I needed to do that didn't really serve me in terms of it didn't really feel like this is in alignment. I'm doing this and I feel really good. And I knew that a big part of manifestation was the feeling good part, the energetically feeling good, being connected with that higher version of you. So when it came to, let's say, things within my business, for example, so there were certain things when I was at the beginning of my business journey, I was doing all of the things, let's face it. I was doing all of the things because I was the only person in my business at that time. So I didn't have the full support of a team. I didn't have, a VA or a sales team or somebody to help me with the tech. I was literally doing everything. I regret taking on that role of wearing all of those caps. Now I do. But at the time, I was very much attached to working hard and struggling and wanting to prove that I could do things. So I was very much in a lot of the roles that I didn't necessarily enjoy. So again, what did I do in those moments, knowing that these were things that just needed to be done in my business, but they were things that I really did not love? What I decided to do is think, well, how can I make this task, how can I make it the best it could possibly be for me right now? How could I make it feel more high vibe? So when it was the task that I did not want to be doing, the first time I ever had to kind of think about things like bookkeeping and accounts, I don't do any of those things now, thank goodness, because I really did not enjoy them. But when I did have to do them, I'd be like, right, if I've got to do this, I'm going to try and make it the most beautiful, high vibe experience that I can. So I would put on an incredible outfit. I would pour myself a glass of my favorite wine. I would light a scented candle. I would put on some really beautiful music. At the time, in fact, I still have a weird obsession with like French jazz music. So there's a lady called Madeleine Peru, probably not pronounced her name right. But I would listen to her and it just felt so, for me, it just kind of felt, made the whole atmosphere feel so much more luxurious. And so I would do this task again. Like I could choose in that moment to just be really frustrated about it, just put on my slubby clothes and get on with it and just make what is already a really bad task for me even worse, or I could make the best of a bad situation. And so it actually came to be that a lot of these mundane tasks that I did, they actually became quite enjoyable for them because I was romanticizing my life. And I think that's something that we all have the ability to do. No matter what our circumstances, we can find tiny, subtle ways to start romanticizing our life even more. And I think when we are faced with a lot of negatives, it tends to be that we're just like, oh, I'm just going to almost tap out because right now my life isn't how I want it to be. And I'm going to show up as that abundant, successful woman when I see the physical reality, when that matches my physical reality. And I see this a lot, and I saw it play out in my own life at one point where it was almost like I knew I wasn't successful. I knew I didn't have money. So it was like my whole sort of physical world, I felt like I had to reinforce that. So the way that I dressed, the way that I ate, the way that I spoke to myself. And I realized that a lot of those things I did have power over. So yes, I might not have all of the money in the world at that point in my life, but I can start eating better. I can start bringing these little luxuries into my life that won't necessarily break the bank. I can start romanticizing my life and making my life feel a little bit more luxurious in these very subtle ways. What you're actually doing here, with perhaps out even realizing it, by romanticizing your life, you are subconsciously telling your mind that this is who I already am. This is the life that I'm already living. And your subconscious, strangely, cannot really distinguish between reality and the imagined mind. Okay, so what we think about versus what we actually have. The subconscious mind just perceives it as all within your experience. So what we're doing here is we're saying, like, this is how I already live. Your subconscious mind starts to believe that, and therefore your reality starts to become a reflection of whatever your subconscious mind is focusing on. Now, one final point I will like to say is that there is going to be times when you do need to focus on the things that you don't want. So maybe it's, I don't know, you've got to go and check your bank account for something, or there's something, you know, that you needs your attention, basically. So we can be Delulu for most of the time and pretend like our problems don't exist. But there's going to be times when we need to face up and we need to have responsibility for them. However, it doesn't need to be something that we then dwell on. So if you're ever called to focus on the things that you don't want in your life, and you find yourself then getting frustrated by those things, take a few moments afterwards to dwell on them for a little bit. By all means, punch a pillow. Think about those things that make you mad or the things that you don't want. Give yourself a designated time and space to really kind of let it out, that negative energy of the things that you don't want, but then draw a line under the sand, okay? Don't beat yourself up if you find yourself one day and your mind has wandered elsewhere and it's wandered onto the things that you don't want. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. Your brain is going to do this every now and again. But what does matter is that you are able to catch the thoughts in the moment, find your way to distract yourself, you know, practice those distraction tactics. You know, bring more intention to your thoughts so you're not just allowing your mind to wander onto the negative. But when you do find yourself, distract yourself, find your way to let it go. And, you know, one negative morning doesn't need to turn into a negative day. One negative day does not need to turn into a negative week. You know, every moment is an opportunity for us to wipe the slate clean. And remember that it's just because you've had a period of time where you're thinking negative, it's never too late, is what I'm going to say. It's never too late to turn it all around. So even if you start your day in the wrong way, don't discard that day. Don't just say, oh, I've got out of the wrong side of the bed today. Because you have any given moment, you have the opportunity and choice to choose what you are focusing on moving forwards. Okay? Now, my final point on this, I just remembered that I wanted to mention this, is just really be mindful of what it is that you are consuming. So whether that's news, whether that's shows that you're watching, you know, maybe it's you're watching a really violent show. I went through a phase of absolutely loving these cartel series, you know, things like Narcos. I love that stuff, but I realized that it was making me and the rest of my life tend to dwell on more negative things, because essentially I was teaching my brain to be in that high fight or flight mode because I was watching these very jumpy shows. So as I was going about my day, I was like, why am I feeling so anxious? Why am I expecting the worst? It's because I was programming my brain to think in that way by watching these negative things. So I make a very conscious effort to only really consume the things that I know are going to support me in focusing on the positive. They're going to make me think more in a positive way. They're going to raise my vibration. So just be very, very mindful of what it is you're consuming, listening to, watching, reading, and making sure those things are really nurturing you. But yes, as I said, what I will do is I will pop into the show notes a very simple exercise for a forgiveness ritual. Going back to what I said at the beginning of this, it may be that there needs to be something released there, okay? Forgiving yourself. So especially when it comes to money, I find this. There's often a lot of guilt and shame that we've had about the way that we've managed our money in the past. So if you resonate with that, there'll be a forgiveness ritual for you popped into the show notes. Okay, ladies, well, I hope this episode has given you some food for thought. I've loved sharing this with you today. If you have anything that you would like me to chat about on the podcast, come and say hello on my Instagram at Danny_Watson_coaching. And yes, have a wonderful week and I will connect with you soon. Bye, ladies. Wanting to build your own successful online coaching business, make sure to check out Freedom, Abundance and Impact, our free 10-day business and mindset course for coaches and aspiring coaches. To access, simply head to wearetheclick.com and click free course in the menu.